Well, what I'm going to be talking about today is mostly this stuff right here. Does anybody even have a clue what that could be? This big tangle, this big electrical storm.
Looks a little like nerves.
What's that?
Looks a little like nerves.
Looks a lot like nerves. You're exactly right, because this is a picture, a photograph of what's happening inside your brain. This is the electrical storm that's happening in everybody's brain right now, at this moment, that is creating everybody's movie that they're seeing.
Yeah.
And everybody is seeing a different movie. Did you know that? Depending on what kind of wires you have in your brain and how you were brought up, what kind of environmental stresses you've been in over your life, what kind of experiences you've had, everybody's got different wiring, don't they? Does everybody see everything the same way, or is there different point of views? Based on what? Your experiences that you've been through. And what's cool about this is what science has shown us is this right here. If you can change your brain, you can change your life. So if there's anything in your life right now that you don't like, anything about your body you don't like, anything about your health that you don't like, anything about your relationships, your experiences that you don't like, guess what? That's pretty exciting, isn't it? If you change your brain, you can completely change the movie that you're watching. And I'm going to explain what I mean by the movie here in a second. But I've been helping people. When I started learning this stuff about 5 or 6 years ago, I was amazed. I do chiropractic rehabilitation in my office, okay? I've been treating people with pain and illnesses and all kinds of different things for the last 13 years. And it wasn't until the last few years that I learned the power of that how you think is the very first thing you got to change in people's minds. Because if someone comes in, if you come in and you think, for instance, I have a lot of people who come in who claim that they have a bad back. Okay? And they may have had a bad back their whole life. Right? And they come in and say, it's just my bad back, doc. And the first thing I have to do is what they've done is they put a label across their forehead and a belief in their mind that they have what?
A bad back.
Okay? Is their bad bad? Is their back really bad? It's what they've put in their mind. And if I don't get that out of their mind and get them to understand that, well, here's the things we can do to build a whole new back for you, right? A whole new stability, a whole new pain-free life that you can have. But if I don't change the belief in his mind that he has a bad back, no matter what kind of stuff I do, he's always gonna, maybe he'll get better for a little while, or she, but about a month later, 2 months later, if she has the belief, or he has the belief that they have a bad back, what's gonna happen 2 or 3 months later?
It's gonna start hurting you.
Because they never change the belief, they're gonna what they call self-sabotage. They're gonna sabotage their the benefits that they got because they never change the belief in their mind that, hey, my back is healing. You know, for instance, I have a bad back to, if I can switch that thought to my back is healing in their brain, then their back is healing. And then they can go on that belief. Because that's the basics of this whole thing, is what you believe becomes your reality.
Can I draw an analogy there?
Please.
I hear people all the time say, well, I can't do math.
Ah, yeah.
I'm just not a
math person.
I just can't do math.
Not a math person.
And what I try to do all the time is first just disabuse them of that notion.
Yes.
That's not true. We can all do math.
Right. And we just all have a different way of wiring that we can pick it up a little differently if it's presented in a different way.
You have to believe it before you can do it.
That's right. You got to believe it to conceive it.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah, that's perfect. But this is where it all is and what it's all about. So I just want you guys to get that in your mind so strong that it's all about what you're saying to yourself and what you're believing that's going to make the movie out here change. And I've used that movie analogy a couple times, and I'll show you what I mean by that. This was a scribbles that I had in my notebook, but I want you to pay attention to this part here, where here's a brain in the middle, And here, over here, is every single possibility that could ever happen in the world that you could ever imagine. In quantum physics, they call this the quantum field. Anybody ever heard of quantum physics or know anything about it? A little bit, yeah? The quantum field is the energy field of pure potential. Anything can happen out of that field, depending on how the brain takes it and projects its movement. That's exactly what happens. We take the quantum field, and however our brain was wired, we wire our brain up in certain ways, and depending on how our brain was wired, we're all going to project a movie that's out here on the screen. So when I say make your movie, I'm talking about your life. Your life is your movie that your brain is making. And everybody's making movies that are... Everybody agrees on certain things, so we can all kind of watch kind of the same movie, right? Everybody can get that. We're all kind of watching the same movie, but everybody's going to have different feelings about that movie and see things slightly different because their brains are wired slightly different. But we can all agree that this is a brown shirt.
Unless we're colorblind.
Unless we're colorblind. We can all agree on... We all agree that this is hard, so therefore that's hard for us. Okay? So we all have certain things, but there's other things that are important to wire your brain about so you can make a different movie and change your reality. And the cool thing is that this movie can change at any time. That's my point. We want to change the movie as much as possible. And this is a lot of responsibility, isn't it? It's cool. It's empowering. But once you know this, you think, geez, I mean, I'm causing all this. If something bad's happening to your life, you can say, wow, I'm doing this to myself. It doesn't allow you to be a victim anymore. It puts you in charge of everything. So that's a lot of responsibility to take on. Okay? So this is so, so important, okay? So, so important to understand that you're making a movie through your brain. And these are the three things I teach. We're going to go through all three of these things, but today we're talking about ThinkRite. We're going to talk about eating, and we're going to talk about moving as well. But today we're talking about how to think, and these are the three pillars of core wellness. That's what I call them, okay? So I'll use the term core wellness several times. And I'm going to give you a little bit of background on what causes... Now we've got to get into the health part of this, right? What causes our unhealthy habits, stress. We get headaches from stress. Stress makes us gain weight, makes us want to eat more, right? Stress can make us... Stress is the reason for all of our illnesses, right? So that's an important thing to understand. Cool little spin around effect there. Okay, where does it come from? We talk about thoughts, we talk about nutrition, we talk about movement. When we talk about thoughts, this can be family stress, relationships. It can be work. Well, you guys don't have a lot of work stress, but you get student stress, you get school stress, right? Financial stress. Do you have a sense of purpose or no sense of purpose? Do you have a spiritual center? Are you grounded, right? Those kinds of things are what we're going to talk about. Those are the things that can cause mental stress. And if you have mental stress, what does your body do? Do you walk around like this if you have mental stress? You know, walking all cool and open. But what's your body do if you're under mental stress? Tightens up. Your shoulders tighten up. Your jaws clench. Your body kind of folds up. You know why? Because if you're in stress, you know what's happening? You have this thing in your brain that's protection. It covers you up. And that's a reflex. Okay? So if you're thinking stressful thoughts, you don't even have to have any pain. You don't have to have any nutritional problems. You can just be thinking stressful thoughts and your body's curling up. Okay? So it's so vital that you understand that that's happening. Right? It's where it comes from. And what happens when we have stress? You know what? When your body's under stress, it's looking for jet fuel to run from the tiger. Right? That's the reason we have stress to begin with. You need fuel so you can get out of there fast. And jet fuel that your body burns is sugar. You're not going to be burning any fat while you're under stress. Bad news. Right? If you want to burn fat, if you want to lose some fat, if you're stressed, it's going to be really hard to do that. Right? Because your body wants to burn sugar. And what's that cause? You want more sugar, right? Or give me a cookie, give me a piece of bread, whatever it is. Message to your body's breakdown. Breaks your body down. You can't build up when your body's under stress. It's the method of breakdown. Shrinks the blood supply to your brain. Has anybody ever had to get into a task where they had to think and they were stressed and they just couldn't think? maybe like some of those tests you guys got to take, those standardized testings and things like that, you're stressed about them, or you can be, people get stressed about them, and when you're stressed, you don't get blood to your thinking part of your brain. You know where the blood goes whenever you're stressed? It goes down here to the fight or flight system. It goes to your animal brain, right? I just want to run. It's all I want to do. And the blood goes to your base of your brain, and you can't think. Right? So that's a big piece of the puzzle. It also damages the memory center. I think Alzheimer's is a big deal in our society. Anybody know anybody personally in this room who is suffering from that or personally? Big time stuff. Yeah? It's no fun. Damages the memory center of the brain. Lowers your sex drive. Nobody wants that. Demineralizes bone. Makes you get osteoporosis down the line. Closes you down. And so whenever your body is under stress and you're like this, whenever gravity comes down, it's going to get you and pull you forward. It's going to make your back hurt. It's going to make your shoulders hurt. But if your body is at peace and feeling like this right here, that gravity can come down through you and come right back up and not have any effect at all. You can actually recycle it and use it to be able to jump, run, climb, whatever you want to do. But if you're curled down forward, gravity's going to grab you and continue to pull you forward until you end up doing this move, right? In the nursing home.
And it starts here.
And it starts here, right now. That's right. So what's the bigger problem? Right? Fox chasing his tail. Dog chasing his tail. Looks like a fox to me. Is we try to treat it this. We try to treat it, we're throwing $2 trillion at it, fighting the wrong war. Because we're trying to treat it after the symptoms happen rather than preventing it to begin with. Does it make sense if your fire alarm is going off in your house and there's a big fire? What's the thing? What should you do? Should you go and rip the fire alarm off the wall and say that thing's annoying? I'm sick of listening to it? What would you do?
Fire.
Take care of the fire, right?
Yeah.
Let's not cover up the symptom. Let's not rip off the warning lights, and that's what we do. If you're chronically in pain or you have a problem and you're taking a pill of some kind to kind of hide that symptom, it's not fixing the problem. The fire is still burning, right? That makes sense? Right? Or do you guys drive? How old are you guys? You got 16, 18 year olds?
About half
the drive? Okay. Anybody ever drive and see like the check engine light come on in your car or something like that? Anybody?
Yes, I'm the only one here.
Huh?
Yes, I'm the only one here.
Hey, the check engine light comes on. What do you do? Do you go to the shop and say, hey, can you get some duct tape and put over my check engine light?
Black electrical tape.
Black duct tape or black electrical tape? Or can you wipe that out? Can you just unplug the fuse to that for me because I'm sick of seeing it? Is that what you do?
Yeah.
What do you do? Take care of it. Take it to the mechanics and find out what's going on under the hood. So, you see that's what our current healthcare system is designed to do, is to cover up the check engine light, unplug the fire alarm.
Tylenol.
Hides the symptom, but doesn't get to the cause of the pain. All right, so this is what you have on your handout. This is the top part of it. So we got these symptoms, we get aches and pains and stiffness and numbness, and maybe we got tingling, maybe we're getting depressed, we're gaining some weight. And then, whenever that happens, we go into the doctor and they say, oh, I've got one of these for you, I've got a label for you. Because if I can't give you a label, then your insurance isn't going to pay for this healthcare. So in order for the insurance system to work, and it doesn't work, the labels... You'll get arthritis, or you have carpal tunnel, Mrs. Jones, or you have a tension headache, you have migraines, you have a disc bulge, you have degenerative disc disease, you have TMJ, you have fibromyalgia, you have chronic fatigue syndrome, right? These are all labels that people slap on their forehead and walk around and say, oh yeah, I was wondering, I've got fibromyalgia, that's my problem, you know? I was wondering, people feel relief, and they say, well, at least I know what it is. But it doesn't do any good to know what it is. All it does is drive that into your brain that you've got this problem. So what's that lead to? Well, we have people do stuff to us. We get passive care. We have outside-in care versus inside-out care. We start taking...
Not responsible.
Oh, yeah. It means I'm not responsible. I'm just a victim. I'm just a victim of this problem. Right? I knew I had some kind of disease in my spine. I've got degenerative disc disease. Right? Or they say, it's just my genes. I knew I just got bad genes. You know? So there's no responsibility in that. And what happens? It's really hard to read. The patterns continue, and then you get disabled, you get old, you get grumpy, and then you die a miserable early death. Nice. Sounds fun, right? You're on 7 or 8 different medications at that time, trying to keep everything, all these symptoms in check, but you don't have any quality of life. All right? But guess what? This is the old paradigm. This pill for symptom, this treating the effect and not the cause and labeling, this pointing the bone, this is all insurance pays for. They don't pay for you to come in and help, and for me to help you think a different thought. You don't get paid for that, or I don't get paid for that from the insurance company, right? I don't get paid to teach you how to hold your body differently. If you don't have any problems, if I teach you to fix your posture, I don't get paid for that. It doesn't make any sense, okay? You guys get that? Can you get a nod or two out of that? Does that make sense to anyone?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Right.
Good. This is important for you guys to know this now, because you guys are the future of this whole deal. I mean, you got to change this. This is insane. Did you know? Oh, here. This is, why is this so crazy? It's because look at how much money is spent on ads. And you talk about wiring your brain. Okay, this is a perfect example of how our brains get wired to think that, well, this is just the way that the system works. Is that $4.2 billion is spent every year to put drug ads in front of your face so you think that drug's going to fix that problem for you. We're wired by watching television. This is all over the internet, it's all over the radio, it's all over all the media. You're getting ads that say, you got this problem, take this pill. That's wired into your brain, so what do you think when you get this problem? You're going to say, where's that pill? Right? But instead, you should be asking different questions. That's what I'm hoping to get through to you guys out of this, right? We want to take care of the functional medicine. We want to make sure we're looking at your thoughts, your nutrition, your movement, your all these things determine your outcome. We're not looking at conditions. We're looking at processes. What are the processes in your body that are going wrong? I don't care about your condition. Honestly, I don't care about your label. I just don't, because it doesn't matter. It's a hindrance rather than a help for your recovery. This is about active care, 100% responsible. And that's a big number to swallow, isn't it?
And it starts here.
100% responsible. Think good thoughts, eat good food, get good movement, and that's how you fix it. Does it take work to do that? Is it easier just to take a pill? Yeah, a lot easier. But guess what? When you do that, when you have passive care, when you take stuff from the outside in, even me as a chiropractor, I have people say, well, can you just adjust my shoulder, doc? That's all I need. Well, I say, no, it's not all you need. You need to strengthen that. You need to fix your posture. You need to think different thoughts. You need to eat different foods so you don't have as much inflammation in your body. You got to do a lot of different stuff. But you know what? 180,000 people die every year from adverse drug reactions, prescription drugs. That makes the American medical system the third leading cause of death in this country. So the prescription drugs are the third leading cause of death. I just want that to sink in for a second, because it's so important not to fall into this passive care mindset. 701,547 trips to the emergency room every year because of a drug interaction. Okay? This is bad stuff. And this is not me just making this up. This is the Journal of the American Medical Association, the most respected medical journal there is. So this is a big problem. And even the medical system even knows that. Here's an important quote. For each ailment that doctors cure with medication, as I'm told they occasionally succeed in doing, they produce 10 other ailments in healthy individuals by inoculating them with a pathogenic agent 1,000 times more virulent than all the microbes. The idea that they are ill. If I tell you you're sick, if I'm a doctor and I've got a white coat on and I say, I'm sorry, dear, you've got chronic fatigue syndrome. There's really not much we can do about it except give you this pill. What's your attitude?
Shocked.
Shocked? Yeah. But do you believe it since I have authority? Because I'm the doctor.
Yeah.
Sorry. Put your affairs in order. Right? That happens a lot. And then we believe it. And that's what I'm saying is, don't believe anything. Don't believe what I tell you. Don't believe anybody. You got to make up your own mind and make up your own decisions and make and rewire your brain. This is what they do. This is what witch doctors do. You ever heard witch doctors? They point the bone at you and you're going to say, you're sentenced to death. Boom. And the people die. And it's real and it's true. It happens. I mean, and this is, you know, it's a modern day version of the witch doctor saying, you are, you know, you're going to die. You point the bone at somebody. Right? So the only way to do it is what you're doing right here. You got to know, expand your knowledge and get motivated and inspired for change. You know, I've been teaching for 13 years on this stuff, even before that. You know, I make audios, I make stuff, I got internet programs. You know, people can put me in their ears when they're in their workouts. They can listen to me on their smartphones. That's the only way this stuff changes is that people like you learn this information. But you got to learn. If you just listen to the media and don't think for yourself, then you're going to go down that crazy spiral. Symptoms are misleading. We find the hidden cause. The symptoms are the tip of the iceberg. This is the headaches and the pain and the numbness and the tingling and all that kind of stuff. But all this stuff underneath is what we got to work on. We don't just treat the tip of the iceberg. So you guys are getting the idea here. So what is core wellness? What we're after is a stress-free state of mind, body, and spirit that allows us to experience the feelings of happiness, peace, power, self-confidence, and self-worth. That's my definition of health. Being able to feel good, feel confident, do anything you want to do, feel good about yourself. That's my definition. This is your natural state. This is who you really are. This is how you were born. You were born in natural state of health. And the problem is we put all this crazy stuff in front of that health that blocks it. Just imagine this perfectly good state of health is the sun. Okay? So what do we do with this sun? We put little clouds over our head that block it so we can't feel that good feeling. Okay? And these clouds... These clouds... protect that sun from shining through. And this, I wish I had one of those clickers. This cloud cover consists of your limiting beliefs, your physical imbalances, and inflammatory nutrition. We're going to get to these two, but the limiting beliefs like, God, I'm falling apart. What's wrong with me? Oh, it's just my genes. But I can't. You know, those are really toxic words right there. I'm sorry, I just can't. You can if you have a strong enough reason why. I could never, can't, always, those kind of words are bad, bad, bad. I always. It's just your age. That's what doctors tell people a lot when they go in. It's just your age. Your knee's hurting because you're getting old. I said, it's just my right knee, though. Doc, what about my left knee? My left knee is just as old as my right knee. Right? So it's not just your age. So, a cloud cannot put out the sun, it can only block it. So what's our goal? We got to get all that stuff out of the way so that the sun can shine through, so health can happen. And our first thing we have to do is remove the blockages in your mind that brings us back to the beginning when I was talking about all this wiring in your past environment that has determined what your movie is looking like. You got two parts of your brain. You got the conscious brain that thinks, thinking, 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 thinking. You got the subconscious brain that reacts. Okay? The subconscious brain is how we react to people. If someone comes up to us and pushes one of our buttons, we react from our subconscious training, subconscious wiring. And whenever we have these same daily thoughts, we get the same results over and over and over again. We get the same results. So we keep, it might feel like this, gosh, the same thing keeps happening to me over and over again. Why does this always happen to me? And is it this loop that turns around and around and around? Okay? If you don't break that loop somewhere, it's going to keep on happening. And this is, anybody see the movie Groundhog Day with Bill Murray? I'm just curious. Can I see a high raise of hands? I'm just... and see if, okay, most. Well, here's the example of that, okay? Scott Bay here.
coming.
Asked you for the rest of your life.
Satisfied as it goes.
Same thing happens over and over again, right? And he's like the little speaker there, it just never stops, right? It just keeps going and going and going again. So it can be awfully frustrating.
Okay.
Here he is. It can be awfully frustrating to have that happen over and over again. And basically, we're all just running on autopilot from all this wiring that we've gotten from our environment. And that's why willpower can never work. You can try and make a change for a little while with your conscious mind and say, no, I'm not going to, whatever it is you're trying to quit. Right. Smokers have a lot. I'm not going to smoke a cigarette. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to do that. And the thing about your brain is it doesn't hear don't not know. All it hears is cigarettes, cigarettes, cigarettes. Or all it hears is whatever it is, cookies, cookies. All it hears is whatever you're trying to quit doing.
Yoo-hoo.
If you say, what's that?
Yoo-hoo.
Yoo-hoo. Yeah, I'm Mountain Dew. I'm not going to do it. It's never going to work. Because if you don't believe in your mind that you are a non-smoker, or if you don't believe in your mind that, you know, if you don't change the back, you know, if you don't believe that your back is healing, if you think your back pain is there, if you don't change, willpower can never work. Your programming in your brain will always come back and get you. That's why you have to rewire the subconscious. And that's the cool thing, is we can rewire the subconscious. You can rewire your brain and change your movie. Right? So this is how we break the loop. Your environment wires your nervous system. Right? This wiring of your subconscious then determines your beliefs. Ah, that's a loaded word, isn't it? Everybody's got different beliefs, don't they? Okay? So, but your environment and your wiring creates your beliefs. Okay? This may be that, you know, a pill is going to save me. This may be that I'm a victim. This may be it's just my genes. Whatever that is. Whatever that belief is, it gets born into you strong. And your belief guides the way you perceive things and your perceptions. And your perceptions determine your habits. Right? Your habits. Your choices and behaviors. Right?
Biggest things I think of there are also religion and politics. And your relationship with your parents and your parents' parents and your parents' parents' parents.
Yeah.
Because you're wired that way.
That's
therefore,
right.
You carry on that legacy.
That's right. You're wired. And, oh, what if I go against that? What would happen? Right? That can be pretty scary to try and jump out of the box. And that's why people don't make changes. Because it's easier just to stay where you are, because you don't shake anybody's feathers, or you don't ruffle anybody's feathers, and you don't shake anybody's boat.
I think about beliefs about gender, what I'm allowed to do as a man.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Yes.
You know, and that shapes perceptions and habits and choices, the way we interact with other people. I think a lot about beliefs that you guys have as students about what you can and cannot succeed. I think that creates your perceptions and determines your habits and behaviors on a day-to-day basis.
And also that role as teacher versus learner. You know, everyone is a teacher.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it's that I can't...
I can't do that because I'm a woman.
Right.
Or I can't do that because I'm a man.
I can't talk about poetry because I'm a man.
Right. Exactly.
Sissy.
I can't dance because I'm a man.
Right.
That's right. I can dance.
You can dance if you want to. You can leave your friends behind.
That's the other thing. I don't care what you think about me. That's the other cool thing. You know, and that's the cool thing to get to, is if you can get to the point where you do what makes you happy inside, follow that excitement, that thing that makes you want to get up every morning. If you can follow that, and not care about what other people are going to say about that, you've got the, that's the equation for an awesome, awesome,
fulfilling life.
Yeah. But that's the key, you know? You gotta be able to step outside of the norm. Because the norm is trying to pull you down the toilet. I'm telling you that right now. Okay? If you don't go against the grain, here's a rule, okay? Whatever...
They're pretty sturdy.
Whatever you see the masses doing, if everybody's doing one thing and everybody's doing it, you do the opposite. So, but you see that these habits and the choices and everything that, all these habits and choices and behaviors that we make, then that recreates the same environment again. And then the environment wires our CNS, and then it goes over and over and over again. So somewhere in this system, you've got to break the loop. You've got to break it. And here is the key. Awareness that the conscious mind, the way you think, can rewire the subconscious mind. That's the whole key.
Say
the awareness that your conscious thinking mind can actually rewire the subconscious mind. That's the key. To know that. And that's also the scary part and the empowering part, because it puts you behind the wheel. You can't play victim anymore, because you know now, if you buy this, and I hope you do, okay, if you buy this whole process of how this all works, then you've got a lot, then you're back to that 100% responsibility for every single thing that happens to you in your life. Every single thing.
Not your parents' fault.
Not anybody else's fault. Why is this happening to me? Can't be in your vocabulary anymore. It has to be, oh, this is happening. How can I think differently about this? What can I do differently next time? How can I rewire my brain to make this? And does it happen like the very first time you say, I am healthy, happy, and strong. And then the next day, all of a sudden, you're healthy, happy, and strong after you've been laid in the hospital for 3 months? No. You have to, your brain takes a little while for all these neural circuits in your brain to kind of some of the wires have to go away from each other, and some of the wires have to come together. So it takes a little while for this to happen. Brain science is telling us we can do it within 3 weeks, which is really cool. All right? Really cool. So here, I'm going to do an example. Where's those
Gabby.
Cards? Gabby, do you have those cards? Let's pass those out.
But keep them face down. Don't read them.
Yeah, keep them face down. We're going to do a little exercise about...
That's it.
I'm going to try and prove something to you here, and hopefully it will help. So as you guys are making sure you keep those face down, I'm going to keep going here. So the way your wire determines the way you see, we're going to do the F card here in a second. I'm not going to talk about the missing pants. But example of how the way you're wired controls your environment. There's a study that was done, and I'm sorry to use it is an animal study.
Do you guys have one?
But they were...
you need one.
They had little kitty cats. And when these kitty cats were born, you know, when kitty cats are born, their eyes are closed, and it takes them a while to open their eyes, and they have to kind of... get their bearings for a little while. Whenever these kitty cats were born, they were raised in an environment that only had horizontal lines. All they ever saw was lines going horizontally. So there was a period of time while their brains were wired for vision where all they saw was horizontal lines. Now what happened whenever these poor little kitty cats could see, and they took them out of that environment with horizontal lines? What happened? Anything with a vertical line they ran into because they could not see it. They ran into table legs. They ran into... They couldn't see vertical lines because their brain was wired only to see horizontal lines. That's an example of how the brain is wired. Now, could kitty cats' brains be rewired the other way? That's a tough one because they don't have that conscious thinking mind like we have. maybe there's a way to do that, but, you know, their animal brains were wired, and they don't have that conscious thinking mind like humans do. So that's an example. Another example is the card here. Where's my...
There's one on your book.
Okay. So what we're going to do is we're going to take this card, and we're going to turn it over, and you're going to read it one time through. Okay? Everybody, go. One time. To yourself. Should be enough time, then put it back down. Okay. Now this time, when you turn it over, you're going to read it again. As you read, I want you to count the F's as you read through. Okay? But if it's not allowed to study it, read through as you normally read, but count the F's as you read. Okay? It should take the same amount of time. Ready to go. And good. Okay. Now, let's see how many saw one F. At least one F.
At least.
Two F's. Three F's. Okay, that's pretty good.
That's pretty good.
Four F's. Oh. Five F's. Six F's. Wow. Well, there are six F's.
And everyone's?
On the card. Everyone's card has six F's. Go ahead and read through it again and see if you can find the six F's. Okay, after you guys studied it for a little while, turn it back over. Now who found six F's? Okay, a little bit better, but if you didn't feel like it, don't feel bad. I never saw it. I think I only found one F. No. Here's the deal with this, guys. Look at the of's. The of's.
I still only see.
Why did we not see the of? Why didn't we see those F's? They're right in front of your eyes. Weren't they? Was it right in front of your eyes the whole time? Why didn't you see it? Why didn't you see it, man? You don't know. I'll tell you why you didn't see it. It's because of wiring. And here's the wiring I'm talking about. How did we learn to read? If you were just learning to read or just learning to write, how would you spell
Okay, I still only see five.
Is there five? Is there only five? Is there six? Okay, we'll be with this in a minute.
There's huh?
There's three of's.
There's three of's. Okay.
At the bottom.
She must have that.
Oh, yes, I missed the lesson. Right. Sorry.
So, see, even when you know it, it's hard to see. Okay, so how did you spell of as a, I don't know, 5-year-old, maybe 6-year-old? How do you spell of?
With a V.
Oh, what?
V.
Excuse me?
V.
V. Because that's what it sounds like phonetically, doesn't it? Of.
Not of.
So when your brain was wired to see that F as a what?
V. That's really it.
But it was right in front of your face. I got chills right now. Okay? You know what this means? Do you really know what this means? This means that think of all the other things that you are not seeing in this world because you aren't wired to see them.
That's crazy.
That's mind-blowing.
It's totally mind-blowing. It is totally mind-blowing. And that's what I was hoping to do today was blow your mind.
Imagine all the potential.
Imagine all the potential. All those things that you could possibly be seeing. Solutions to problems that you don't even know exist. Because you're not wired to see them that way. Okay? So you get my point here? Really important to know that. But now that you know this, here's the other thing. I just rewired your brain. Every single one of you had it, and it was kind of an emotional response too. I mean, I got chills thinking about it, and you said, blew my mind, right? And when something is emotional and you get a big charge out of it, it creates a feeling in your body, you learn it so much faster. I don't know how old were you guys, 9/11. Do you remember where you were whenever the Twin Towers crashed down?
Yeah.
Does everybody remember exactly where they were? Why did your brain remember that? You had a powerful emotion that tagged it.
Plus, it was shown over and over and over on television.
And it was shown so... Well, there you go. But those are two things. That's how you rewire your brain. Persistence. I see it over and over and over again. But it doesn't matter how many times... But everybody knew where they were at that first moment. That's the real kicker here. It's because emotion drives things into your brain. Drives it in. And stamps it. Brands it. Okay? So we can use that to our advantage. So if you can be excited about something while you're learning, or you learn something and you get, wow, and you had an emotional charge about it at that point, you're going to learn it more quickly. You're going to rewire, you can rewire your brain. It doesn't take even 3 weeks. If you have a strong emotional charge about something while you learned it, you're going to learn it, and you're going to know it immediately, and you're never going to forget it. And you might learn it because it hurt. I put that hand on my stove, ow! I'm not doing that anymore. I just learned something. Okay? Because it hurt. I had a strong emotional charge to it, and it burned in my brain. So you can use that to your advantage, is what I'm saying. When you want to learn something, to learn, you know, get excited and have good feelings while you're doing it. Okay? All right. So, the F card. Pretty cool, huh? All right. I'm going to probably need those back. So.
Oh, no, they can take them.
Yeah, they'll take them. Well,
take them and pull it on your parents.
Play around and share the love with those things. Freak people out. Okay. So you can't outperform your limiting beliefs, right? Self-sabotage. Until you change the wiring in your brain, you're always going to go back.
I think this is just interesting, though, Steve. We get addicted to our emotions.
Oh, yes. Sorry, did I? Oh, yes. Skip that.
Down below. One more.
Emotional holics.
I remember in adolescence, I had a period of a year or two where I was really depressed, and I kind of relished it.
Mm-hmm.
It became part of my identity to where that's who I was, and I sort of reveled in it.
Yeah.
And it was hard to pull out of it. Who knows why, right? The environment creates those.
If it keeps happening over and over again, you can be wired into a negative circumstance just as wiring into a good in a positive circumstance.
Right.
And that's the trap of the brain. Is the one thing about the brain is it likes to keep things the way they are. Your brain, as soon as you start doing something different, you jump outside the norm. You know, if you were depressed and were feeling bad for a couple of years. That's who you are. That's who you are, right? It became your, like you said, your identity. So what happens if you do something that makes you feel good, or someone gives you a compliment, or something like that? That's going to make you what?
Yep. Uncomfortable.
It's going to make you uncomfortable.
You're cheating on yourself.
You're cheating on your brain. You're cheating. That's not consistent with who you are. That's just not who I am, right? And that's the dangerous thing to say. I just can't be mad. Just not a math person. Same thing. You have an identity of a person who just can't do math.
So that's the reality.
It's true. It's absolutely true. Yeah. You'll never learn math. Forget it. You might as well not even try. Because you don't believe you can.
When the reality is, nothing is real.
That's a whole other goal. That's a whole other leap. But that's true. It's all energy. Nothing is solid.
It's all plastic.
It's all plastic, meaning it's all changeable. Everything is well, everything is energy, and this is only solid because we all believe it is.
One example is from quantum physics. We all believe that we know how light is going to behave. Particles of light, when we observe them, are going to behave exactly the same way every time. In quantum physics experiments, when those particles of light are not observed, they behave in ways that we cannot explain. They behave completely differently. So this sounds, I'm sure, at first, when you first hear it, kind of preposterous, right? That really there is no reality and all that sort of thing. Actually, there's scientific evidence to suggest that at the very least, there's things we don't know about
about the world because of the way that we perceive things and the way that we observe things. At the very least, we can't know all that there is to know about our reality.
No, you can't know because it's incomprehensible. It's incomprehensible, the vastness of all the possibilities that are out there. It's much more comfortable to know what you know and not go outside and say, hey man, I'm good. I'm just right where I am. I don't need to be uncomfortable. I'm telling you what, if you want to make things happen in the world and in your life, you got to be very, very comfortable with chaos. Be comfortable with uncertainty. Being certain about everything all the time is the kiss of death. You have to be able to say, nope, I'm going to at least try that. I'm going to step into that and see if that works for me. If you don't ever want to step into that, I don't know how I'll feel if I do that.
Expansion and evolution.
Expansions, constant expansions. Anyway, okay, good. You guys should do some quantum physics stuff.
You should.
Actually, you know what? There's a really good bridge. I don't know if you've... What the Bleeped?
I've heard of it.
It would be a really good...
class.
It would be a good class movie to watch.
Have you seen that movie?
I have.
Cool.
Because
everything I'm talking about right here, it is explained in there in a science format. You know what I mean? You don't have to believe... It's not like woo-woo out there, new agey stuff. It's quantum physics. Quantum physics is pretty darn respected, right?
It's amazing.
The smartest people in the universe are, you know. And like Einstein said, you know, you can't... He said a lot of things, but you can't solve the problem at the level of the problem. You can't stay in that energy of the problem and solve the problem. You have to go outside and look at it from a different way. Think differently about the problem. Okay? Break the loop. So the emotional holics, very good point. Thank you for bringing that up. Because you can get addicted to feeling bad. Therefore, you'll never feel good because you're addicted to the emotions. You're going to get addicted to emotions just like you can get addicted to cigarettes and alcohol and drugs, whatever. Emotions, they're all just chemicals in your brain. Molecules of emotion. Okay, we got to know that all power comes from within. That's our first thing. You got to know that we're the source of everything. That's the biggest thing. Nothing is happening to us. We are making it happen. Okay? The world within, create the world without. Another way of saying that. Become aware. There's the big word. Aware and knowing that you can create a new reality by releasing your old patterns and rewiring new ones. Scientists call this neuroplasticity. That's what Norman Doidge talks about in his book, The Brain That Changes Itself. He has a lot of scientific explanations about how that works. Very powerful stuff.
We talked about that with iBrain, right? The digital age is changing the way that your brain works. It's the same. It's neuroplasticity.
That's right. And it's very, very empowering to know that we can change the brain. And you know what they said about the brain? They said, well, once your brain cells die, they don't recuperate anymore. You know, ever said that brain cells don't regenerate themselves? Somebody ever heard that before? You kill a brain cell, it never comes back. It does. They've proven now that you can regenerate hippocampal neurons and improve your memory. You can regenerate your brain if you dump it into a different environment. Right? If you change your environment, you change your brain. Simple as that. Become aware of your self-talk. Here's your big exercise, right? Here's the big take-home to focus on. Become aware of your self-talk, especially the words don't, not, and no. Don't do that. Don't do what? Don't you go outside and don't you pick on your brother, or don't you pick on your sister. And all you hear is pick on your sister, pick on your sister, pick on your sister. But your brain doesn't register, don't not know. We make a list of the 10 most damaging things that you say to yourself. This is a lesson and a very important exercise for you to do. Just go through. Pick out 10 things that you find yourself saying to yourself over and over again. Just start paying attention to the voice inside your brain.
That could just as easily be things that you say to yourself or beliefs about yourself.
Beliefs about yourself, things that you say to yourself. Write down what you currently believe about yourself. And then think, okay, is that serving me or not? Right? Just come to that conclusion. So when you find yourself you know, when you say, when you start talking to yourself and you find yourself saying these damaging things to yourself, you stop and say, wait a minute, what do I want? When you say, well, you know, probably it's easier to make a list of things you don't want, right? Whenever things come up for you and you start making these lists of all these damaging things, you just ask yourself, okay, what do I want here? What do I want to have happen? And then you just make an antidote statement, right? You write it down. You know, why does this keep happening to me becomes, well, what do I want? And you say, well, what can I learn? What can I learn from this? It's as simple as that, asking a different question. Okay? So you need to take stock. Find out what excites you. What do you have a burning desire to do? You need to get leverage on yourself. Why do you have to change? If you don't change, what's going to happen? You know, you need to build, you know, you need to use the stick here a little bit. You know, if I don't change this, what's going to happen? Let's fast forward 5 years. If I keep this same pattern going, what's going to happen to me? And you think, oh man, I don't want to even think about that if I keep doing this. You know, what pain will you get and what pleasure will you get if you do make these changes? So get some leverage on yourself. And then you got to get crystal clear. You got to paint a vision in your mind, an image in your mind. Your brain works on images. It works on vision. It doesn't work to kind of think about what's the step-by-step process to get there. Okay? It has to see the end result. That's how your brain gets changed. You got to be able to see the end result. All right? Get crystal clear about that. And here's another real important trick. Instead of just wanting it for yourself, how about getting that for others? Or desiring it for others as well. The quickest way to get something yourself is to give it to somebody else. So that's one of the fundamental rules of the universe. When you give it, you get it. So if you put out the energy of guilt, and you put out the energy of sadness or shame, you put that out there, what's going to come back to you from other people? More of the same. Things that make you feel guilty and sad and ashamed. But what if you put out a positive vibration to that person? Guess what comes back? It's the same thing. It comes back. Always, and it comes back 10 times greater. That's the other trick. Right? Write it out. When the pencil hits the paper, something magic happens. You can think about it all day long, but when you get out a piece of paper or a journal, I recommend a journal rather than just random scraps of paper. Get a journal that you like, and that's where you write this stuff down. Something that you know where it is, and you know where to get it, and you know where to handle it. Write it down. Magic happens when you put stuff down on paper. And the important thing is when you write down that image of what you want, you got to really feel the feeling. That's the other thing that drives it in. When you feel the feeling of what that'll feel like when that happens, then that vision gets burned into your brain. Remember that feeling I talked about, the importance of having a feeling and an emotion and how that really burns things into your brain? Feeling the feeling of a vision is what makes your brain come closer and closer to that reality.
It will recognize every opportunity that comes along to propel you in that direction.
We see it with sharp visualization and imagination. We feel the feeling. We get the vibration. And the best time to drop these new statements or these declarations or these affirmations, whatever you call them, into your mind is when your brain is in theta state. Anybody ever heard of the brain waves in the brain? You guys looked at that at all? The brain wave stuff? Right? There's a beta, alpha, theta, and delta. There's all these beta, alpha, theta, delta. Okay, and the beta is like the thinking brain, thinking mind. Alpha is a little more relaxed. Theta is like that groggy feeling whenever you're just waking up in the morning or you're just ready to fall asleep at night. That's theta state. Theta state also happens to you when you're driving down the highway with highway hypnosis. When you drive and you think, all of a sudden you find yourself driving for an hour and you think, geez, how did I drive? I wasn't even thinking about driving. Right? That's theta state, when you get hypnotized almost. That's the best time to drop new information into your brain. That's the time. So right before you go to sleep and right when you wake up in the morning are the two things that you can control. right? You have, even if it's on note cards, it's on your journal, you read through the statements, read through them 10 times if you want to. Read it, that it's best if you fall asleep while you're reading it. And that's how you drop new beliefs into your mind. And then if you keep dropping those in, pretty soon, your movie's going to start changing. All right? So phase state. You can also use, they have brainwave CDs as well. You can kind of put in headphones on to kind of get your brain into that theta state. That's another way to get there. And this is something you can't just do it for a couple of days. If you really want to make the change happen, you got to stick with it, right? It takes, like I said, at least 3 to 10 weeks to get it going. And you got to stay with it. It's that persistence thing. Persistence. Okay? This is the keep it simple, stupid philosophy is, in general, follow your excitement. I talked about earlier, and I should put also on there, and forget about what other people think. Follow what makes you feel that bliss and excitement, and forget about what other people think. Joseph Campbell, follow your bliss into the woods. Actually, there's a new movie just came out that you can order the DVD, or you can actually watch it online. It's called Finding Joe, and it's all about Joseph Campbell. Joseph Campbell is the guy who came up with the concept of the hero's journey. It's what Star Wars is named after. All of the major movies that have this hero's journey, where you go through this process of adventure, and you go out beyond your comfort zone, and you battle the bad people, and you come back a victor. That's the hero's journey, and that's Joseph Campbell's kind of archetype that he created. And so he inspired a lot of people to make a lot of really cool movies with that idea. But anyway, that's a good movie to check out. I just thought I'd mention that. Follow your excitement. So we want to get out of this stuck in a loop thing, right? And there's the Einstein quote. The significant problems we face cannot be solved at the same level of thinking we were at when we created them. And so just to know that you can change your brain, and you can change your life, you can change your health, you can change the whole world. All right? You guys buy that?
I do.
Have you seen The Matrix? Anyone seen The Matrix with Keanu Reeves? You can take the red pill or the blue pill. You can take the blue pill and go back to the way things were. Keep letting everything happen to you. Keep being the victim and just kind of roll along and let the tide just kind of wash you along. Or you can take the red pill. It is the red pill, isn't it? The one that brought him out of the Matrix.
Sure.
I think it's the red pill. He took the red pill, and now he's got, wow. I didn't even know all this stuff was possible. And all these other people were just kind of playing a computer game. This is the real stuff over here. Like an escape from the Matrix. That's what I'm asking you to do, is to step out of the Matrix and take the red pill. You can choose to take the blue pill and go back to the way things were. But once you start watching these movies and start getting understanding how the brain works and how quantum physics works, I think that it'll be undeniable. Okay.
That's all I have. And I will say, I can email this to you, because I remembered thinking while you were talking about the dropping things in theta state. What sorts of affirmations or what sorts of statements would that be? And I have a list that we created for our clients that's maybe, I don't know, 20, 30 of different statements that you can say. And I will email that to you so you guys can print that up. Because there's some, it's really interesting how negative thoughts creep in even as you're trying to create a positive affirmation. It's so easy for something to creep in.
Yeah.
You know?
And just know that the most powerful ones are the ones that you make yourself. Right? Canned ones work really nicely, but...
Well, I just mean as a way of...
Well, get some ideas of how to state
things.
Yeah,
just right.
The model of it.
Okay. Yeah.
All right, well, I did all the talking there, guys. There was just a lot of stuff I needed to get out, but...
But we tried to save time for questions.
I'm open for if anybody has any... comments or questions about it?
A little earlier in the PowerPoint, you said that you can regain your brain cells. Like, is it possible to do that more than once? Or is it like, as soon as you get into that new environment, is that the only thing you can do it?
No, it's constant. It's constant. It's you can As long as there's no, if there's stress on board, here's the key. Anytime your body perceives stress in any way, shape, or form, your brain cells die. But they don't regenerate. But when you're at peace and you're feeling thoughts of joy and bliss and all that kind of stuff, your brain cells start regenerating. So it's constant. You're constantly renewing. You're constantly dying, but you're also constantly renewing. Brain cells die, but then renew. Skin cells slough off and die, then you make another one. You're always dying and renewing, dying and renewing, dying and renewing. The key is, we want to make sure that our environment is as hospitable to renewal as possible. You know, if it's constantly stress, 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 then you're gonna run the breakdown pattern. Okay, as long as you're feeling good and you're following your excitement, you don't care what other people think and you're getting on it, I mean, you don't want to, well, maybe sometimes you might irk people off, right? But it doesn't matter. If you're following what you know is right inside and it makes you feel blissful and happy, as long as it's coming from an organic place, right? Not coming from outside influences, because you can, a lot of this stuff is like drug-induced stuff, right? You just make sure it's coming from an inside place. That's the most important part. Because the outside environment, the outside ways to do that are damaging to your brain, not regenerative for your brain. Okay? Good question. Constantly renewing. Absolutely.
The card thing you gave us.
Yes.
I took that test thingy for like 2 weeks ago, and I got four of them.
Oh, yeah?
Like three or four of them, that was it. So that's all we've got now.
So you've seen it before. So you were already wired.
Yeah.
So that's an example. That's a perfect example. He had the experience, and his brain is different than everybody else's now, because he had that experience. Now your brain is different from everybody else's because you had a different experience.
Steve, did you tell the story of, I'm not sure if I borrowed this from you or not, but it was similar to this card, but it was something like there was an airplane
in Alaska. Yes.
Yes. That's the example.
Step to the left.
Okay.
Yeah.
In, I think it was Saskatchewan, Canada. Saskatchewan, Canada. That's right. There's a lot of airplane travel in Saskatchewan, and sometimes it happens that if planes have engine trouble, they find a highway or a road to land on. Right. So if they have an engine trouble, they put it down on a highway, and there's repeated incidences of cars running down the highway, running smack into a plane, right in front of them. How in the world, and then the police reports and the insurance reports, we finally got to the point where, like, how is this happening? How are people running into parked planes in the middle of the highway? How is that even possible? Does anybody, knowing what you know now, does anyone know how that's possible?
I couldn't believe that they were there. They hadn't seen it.
They couldn't believe it. He just said the magic word. They didn't believe it because they couldn't see it because they didn't have wiring in their brain for a plane parked on the highway. They didn't see it. In their mind, their brain did not see it. It was not there. Until...
I think there's actually another... I would be interested to know how this is known. But I think there's another example of that. When Columbus was landing the ships coming in off the ocean, and the Native American Indians,
right.
And I don't
that
know
was,
if that's
that used a lot.
It's used a lot. I'd like to know the proof behind that.
I don't know what if it's stories passed down, but the idea is that the shaman at the edge of the beach saw ripples, but didn't see the ship. He couldn't see the ship because he'd never seen a ship before. Nothing like it. So, you know, so that's another example. That one's a little
obscure.
Obscure, but it's the same thing. It's all the F card. You don't see it because your brain's not wired to see it. So if you want to see something, wire your brain to see it. Be open. Right?
I think it's also about kind of being on autopilot. We go through our lives. So much of what we do unconsciously because it's routine, it's habit, and we're not in our conscious minds.
That's right.
You know, and you can see even really small examples of this. I won't give the name, but I just heard a story at lunch, and there was an advisor here, and she went into Meijer yesterday, and, you know, shopping in Meijer, getting groceries, and, you know, gets up to the checkout counter and goes to get the money out of her purse, and she's been walking around Meijer with her lunchbox. So when she opened up her purse, all she saw was an ice pack in there. And the whole time she thought it was her purse, right? And because she wasn't in her conscious mind, it was habit, routine. And so, you know, it doesn't have to be a giant plane in the road, right? It's just, it happens on a daily basis, really, to a lot of us. We get into just an unconscious way of operating.
And I think it's important to seek out what those things are in your life that you are doing just automatically.
Yeah.
So that's the magic of mindfulness. Go through your day mindfully. Okay? That's a form of meditation, is mindfulness. There's actually forms of meditation where you can just focus on chewing your food and focus on every single thing that happens in your mouth. Focus on your, I'm salivating now. Oh, I'm feeling that in the right side of my cheek. Or you can do it slow motion walking and just think of paying attention to everything that's happening in your body as you walk. You're consciously thinking about it, rather than just going,
Taking a shower is one too.
Yeah.
A lot of us unconsciously take showers. I like to get in the shower and think about, first of all, I'm so lucky to have running water.
Yeah.
How many people in the world don't have running water? I try to be grateful for that, conscious of it. Then, it's not just running water, it's hot water coming out of this.
Yeah.
You know? How amazing is that?
Okay. You know? We just don't even think, have a second thought about it.
No.
And when you develop that sense, that you got a feeling of gratitude.
Right.
And when you've got that feeling of gratitude, you created a vibration. It's a thing. You had a thought and you created a thing. When you felt that gratitude, there is no time and space. That's the other thing quantum physics tells us. That when we make that vibration, boom, it immediately goes to everyone. We all benefited from Kyle's gratitude that he had while he was in the shop.
That's nice, isn't it?
Yay!
Appreciate
Thank
that.
You, Kyle.
It's a gift to you all. But think about if everybody did that all the time. Right?
And also, I want to say that movie, and I think you said you have it, What the Bleep. Is that right? Have you watched it, actually? There's several instances of how we feel our environment. Think about it. You can walk into a room, and if there seems to be something hostile happening, something going on that is generating a tremendous amount of negative energy, it's uncomfortable, and you feel it, and you know it. But if you walk into some place and it is open and friendly, you feel that. And if you feel that in just a room, imagine what feelings you put out into, you know, it's this room, then it's this section, then it's this school, then it's this community, then it's this town.
Good vibes.
Montessori told us the supreme reality of social life. And this goes all the way back to the beginning of the year. What is the supreme reality? So we can each contribute to a better reality. You know, I mean, Montessori talked about this, you know, 60 years ago. And now, you know, brain research is corroborating what the ideas that she introduced as well.
It's the ultimate question. Why are we here?
And
we're here to have fun. We're here to spread let everybody be joyful. It's not here to be, this is crazy, I gotta tread my way through life. We're here, it's a game. We're here to play. You know, if you're not following that excitement and allowing yourself to play, that playing and that feeling excitement, that's what makes the brain healthy. That's what makes your body healthy. We're here to play, have fun, spread the joy, man. Spread the love, you know, give it and get it back. It's a pretty simple concept.
I have had the thought several times throughout this seminar today that there are these amazing thinkers like Maria Montessori and Albert Einstein, and what makes them different from any one person in this room? And the biggest difference is, first of all, there is no difference. But they were reaching, they were growing. They were expanding. They were stepping out of the box. They didn't accept the status that this is the way things had to be. That what if it's this way? Or, you know, where is the answer to this problem? Well, let's look at it from a different way.
And they imagined.
They imagined. And that's what everyone has within them.
You know,
everyone in this room could be Albert Einstein. And that is so exciting.
And that's just because he sat in school as a pathetic student, worst student in the world. He just sat there and imagined if he was going to ride, if he could ride on a beam of light. Right? If he could ride on a beam of light and ride to the clock and back faster than the beam of light, right? And he was wondering, boy, if I actually did that, could I make time go in reverse? You know, he was just, things like that is what brought all of these, the theory of relativity and all this kind of wonderful stuff that he brought to us. It was all because he imagined things. He had visions of things.
If I could make more brain cells, then how many could I make if I did this, 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 you know, whatever it is?
It's just all about removing those clouds and letting that the sun shine through, letting the health shine through, letting your bliss shine through, and break out of the loop. That's the thing.
Let your love shine.
That's right. Thank you, Steve. Hey, my pleasure, guys.